The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with baseball. An opening night that was appropriately wild considering the circumstances. We've got it all covered. Plus, LeBron, on the floor and off, owned the night in the NBA. You have to see how he played and hear what he said. We've got them both on the way. And the pressure on this young man is unimaginable, and it's coming from his own teammates. You'll hear the latest coming up as we get up with you, starting right now on a Friday. From Bristol, Mike Greenberg here and delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We'll be with you till 10:30 Eastern time this morning when a full-fledged First Take comes your way. And look who I have assembled for you this morning to talk baseball. Doug Glanville is ready to go. Jeff Passan is here. Tim Kirchen is ready to go as we had Major League Baseball last night. Let's go. Baseball back with the Yankees and Nationals in an empty stadium to begin it all. And the Nationals began it by raising their World Series banner pregame. And then this moment before the anthem, both teams kneeling in unison, part of an opening day ceremony featuring references to the Black Lives Matter movement and the coronavirus pandemic. Players wearing patches on their jerseys in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. And then the great Anthony Fauci was there to throw out the first pitch. And this was not a great pitch. He's an epidemiologist. He is not a relief pitcher, but his presence still highlighting the fight against the coronavirus. And then finally, time to play ball. Max Scherzer on the mound. Giancarlo Stanton with a runner on second in the second. And this one, oh, it's gone. Oh, he got all of that. 459 feet for Stanton. The first home run of the 2020 baseball season is a bomb, and it would just lay there for a while in the stands, one of the very strange things we would see. And so they would stake the Yankees' new ace, Gerrit Cole, to a quick lead. Adam Eaton would immediately cut it in half. That was the only mistake Cole made on the night, but Eaton crushes that for a solo shot. So it's 2-1 in the bottom of the first, and then no. No high fives, low fives, or any other kind of fives as we circle the bases. Now Scherzer comes back facing Aaron Judge, who actually had the first hit of the night, and there's his second with a runner at first. Yanks a 2-1 lead. Judge drives that one to left. Tyler Wade would score all the way from first. Scherzer would finish the game with 11 strikeouts but give up 4 runs, and Gerrit Cole was sensational. After that one mistake to Adam Eaton, he just started mowing people down. There's Andrew Stevenson going down, Victor Robles. Cole would pitch 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, give up just the 1 run, and then the skies would open. Lightning, heavy rain, they'd eventually call it. And so the Yankees take the opener in a 4-1 shortened 6-inning game. Let's hear from the winning pitcher, Gerrit Cole.
It's just a lot of fun. No one could have envisioned the type of year that we're having this year. So, but within those parameters, it exceeded every mark. I just had a blast, really. I mean, it was just so much fun.
We're getting to play baseball. So at the end of the day, I'm still no matter all the things we can get negative about and cry about, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to keep playing baseball and have a smile on my face.
All right, we'll continue here, and I've got Jeff Passan with me. Jeff, ready to go. Jeff, what was it like? You were there. What was it like in the empty ballpark last night?
It was eerie, greeny. It was weird. You have piped in noise. You hear balls clanging off of things. Max Scherzer got caught on a hot mic, actually, right after he gave up that home run to Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, right after the crack of the bat, you heard him say something I'm not going to repeat, but there's this thing called the internet that you can go and look it up on, and it's absolutely fantastic. This is what pandemic baseball is going to be like. It's going to take some getting used to from the players. And I think in the end, there are going to be some guys who simply do not adjust to the silence throughout the ballpark. They feed off of crowds. They love the idea that someone's going to be there watching them perform. I don't know who it's going to be, and I don't know if it's going to reveal itself, within the first 5, 10, 15 games, but There are only 60 games in this season, so we're going to figure out sooner than later who has adjusted to this type of baseball and who hasn't.
Yeah, so there's the virus part of the story last night and the baseball part of the story last night. Doug Glanville, let's talk about the baseball part. Gerrit Cole looked awfully good with the exception of the one mistake that Adam Eaton crushed. What is he going to mean to the Yankees this year?
Well, he's game-changing, and literally every time he gets the ball, they know they have a great opportunity to win. He keeps them in the game, and he's sort of anti this bullpenning movement where he can get the ball and go deep into the game and save your bullpen, which is going to be really important in this short season. But the calm, the expectation, he's rising to the challenge, and you just don't know coming out of these very abridged spring training, summer training, how they're going to look, and he looked very sharp.
Yeah, he looked terrific. And so, Timmy Kirchner, if we just sort of assess the night from a Yankee perspective, Aaron Judge looked good. Giancarlo Stanton hits a 460-foot home run, and Gerrit Cole was everything he's advertised to be. I know it's only one night, but how good do the Yankees look to you?
Well, to me, they're the best team in the American League, and we saw a little bit of it last night. And Stanton is a critical guy, given that he barely played last year. But I saw him in spring training, and he's in great shape as always. But he looks a little less bulky to me. I think he got a little bit too big. And last night, he looks like a slightly different body, and maybe that will help him at the plate. And I think once he gets his mind clear and stays healthy, he's still a really good offensive player. And if he's the player that he used to be, that Yankee offense is going to be breathtaking to watch.
All right, no question. So that was the opener last night. And then the nightcap of our doubleheader featured the legendary rivals, the Giants and the Dodgers. The second game of the night, and as you see, a cutout of the legendary Jackie Robinson and his family is one of several in the stands. Different teams and ballparks choosing to do those things differently. The players from both teams kneeling in unison, holding a black tapestry. Mookie Betts was one of several players who kneeled during the playing of the national anthem last night. And Clayton Kershaw was a late scratch, but Mookie Betts would not disappoint. In the seventh inning of a game that was tied at one, Mookie Betts would untie it, smash to left field. His first hit as a Dodger. Says, you know what, I'm going to keep that ball. He would take the ball. He would take the scorecard with him. Later in the inning, second and third with just one out. That's Justin Turner at the plate. Donovan Solano is going to come home, and Mookie Betts is going to beat the tag. And so he would, they would challenge here, but he was safe. He gets in. He scores the run. Dodgers take a 2-1 lead. They wind up winning it by a score of 8-1. And here was Mookie after the game.
You know, it's still the same game. I'm so comfortable with these guys. You know, I've been here, and that it's home. You know, it's home now, and so I had to embrace it. So it was obviously some jitters and whatnot, but everybody made me feel comfortable, and we came out with a win.
Tim Kirchner, you called that game last night. What was your primary takeaway from Dodgers-Giants?
Well, the Dodgers are really, really good, which I think we knew anyway, of course. But then when you watch Mookie Betts playing right next to Cody Bellinger, and you realize these are the two MVPs from the last 2 years. And then you saw Mookie do way more than, you know, just get a couple of hits. He scored from third on an infield ground ball, just showing again how fast, athletic, what a great base runner he is. He is the perfect final piece for the Dodgers to win their first World Series since 1988. This is why they gave him all that money, because you saw the all-round Mookie Betts that just adds a different element to that team.
Spectacular player, no question about it. Doug, what was your reaction to the contract, and what do you think he means to the Dodgers?
Well, they made him a cornerstone, and it's such a shift because no one was sure about the economics with the pandemic and whether teams would be really cautious about committing. The Red Sox were, and their fans were like, I don't know, maybe Betts comes back. It's a rental. And then all of a sudden, he's locked in for over a decade. And they had seen enough. They already knew his talent. But he is transformational. He's one of the generational players that can be that impact. And they're committing to the future. And that's a positive sign for other players that want to either go there or already there to try to win something in L.A.
Yeah, perhaps the one negative sign, of course, was the late scratch of Clayton Kershaw. Jeff Passan, what do we know?
Well, this is the fifth time over the last 7 years, Greeny, that Clayton Kershaw has gone on the injured list with an injured back. each of the previous times he missed multiple weeks. Now, they backdated the injured list stint this time, meaning he could potentially come off in a few days, may miss only one or two starts. But when it comes to Clayton Kershaw's back, they want to take it easy. The Dodgers understand that they are head and shoulders better than everybody else in the National League. And they also understand that with the playoffs expanded to 16 teams yesterday, that there's a chance they have a three-game series that they can get bounced in the first round with an unlucky series. You want Clayton Kershaw for those games despite his history in the playoffs. He's still one of your three best pitchers.
Of course. So many different things that happened yesterday. We will get to the playoffs. We'll get to Juan Soto and a whole lot more. Guys, stand by with me. The baseball season is back. We're just getting started. As we continue, we'll tell this. LeBron, this might be his last best chance to win a championship. Giannis may actually need a title more than he does. We'll explain why that might be. And then Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. They've won exactly one. So our thoughts of a dynasty, premature. We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. By the Marines, winning battles for our nation and for all its people. And by Shark Fest, continues tonight, 8 p.m. on National Geographic. Look who was on the floor last night. LeBron James and the Lakers taking on the Mavericks. And LeBron would tweet before the start of the game, time to begin prepping for my night out of the town, a.k.a. the stage. And he looked awfully good. Early first quarter. Look at the Lakers here. That's LeBron getting in the lane. A nice little dish for JaVale McGee. Great look from the league leader in assists. Before the end of the first quarter, now Lakers are up by four. That's Deion Waiters. His name was trending last night. He had 9 points in his Laker debut. Mavs down a deuce in the second. Luka Doncic. Why give it up when you can just do this all by yourself? Taking it strong. He had scored 14 points in 16 minutes. Still in the second, Lakers are up three. LeBron, look at the behind the back, working his way into the lane. That's up and good. Lakers up a deuce. We're late in the half now. Lakers lead is six. That's LeBron. That's Dwight Howard. Lakers firing on all cylinders. Less than a minute to go. Now in the first half, the Lakers were leading it by 11. We got LeBron with an errant alley-oop. We got LeBron with liftoff. 12 points in 15 minutes for LeBron James. He wouldn't play in the second half. J.R. Smith would, however. Yeah, there's J.R. J.R. would score six. His first bucket since 2018. Mavs would go on to win the game 108-104. But good to see these stars back on the floor. And speaking of stars on the floor, Giannis Antetokounmpo playing last night for the Bucks, and he certainly doesn't look like he missed a beat. He would score 22 points in 21 minutes as the Bucks would beat San Antonio easily last night. He was 9 of 13 from the floor, but there was a lot of conversation about Giannis yesterday, and Kendrick Perkins was in the middle of a bunch of it, and he joins us this morning along with Zach Lowe. Good morning, guys. And Kendrick, I will start with you. What do you believe we need to see from the Milwaukee Bucks this summer to assure that their future goes the way they want it to go?
Well, listen, Greeny, with the Milwaukee Bucks, with them having the best record both in two seasons in a row, they have to make it to the NBA Finals. If they don't make it to the NBA Finals, it's a failed season, and it's a bust season for them, and they're going to have concerns for signing Giannis to a long-term extension. When you go back and look in 2009, 2010 with LeBron James, He had the best record in the league both years, but he failed to make it to the finals. And what he did, he went and joined the Miami Heat. So if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm worried, because if I don't make it to the finals this year, it's a bust season, and their chances on losing Giannis is very high.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot more of that conversation out there, Zach, and these are obviously such unusual circumstances and times. What is the sense you're getting from around the league about the situation involving the Bucks and Giannis long term?
I agree with Perk. I can't believe it. What a good morning. I think the Bucks have to make the finals to sort of assuage these.
Oh.
Yeah, to sort of assuage these questions. You know, the Bucks have the best record in the league again. And look, the Bucks have quietly, and this happens to a lot of teams with great players, they've quietly transformed from a younger team into a win-now team. Chris Middleton is 28. Brooke Lopez is 30. Eric Bledsoe is 30. Like, this team has to win now. And if Giannis at the end of this can't look around and say, I can win the championship with this group, I just think that's a problem for the Bucks. I'm not saying he leaves because of that, but that certainly tilts the equation a little bit.
Perk, let me ask you this. Some will say the league is better when a star of this magnitude is in a market like Milwaukee, and others will feel the opposite. They think that the league is better off if the biggest stars are in the biggest cities and the most glamorous teams. Where do you fall on that? What do you think is best for the NBA long term?
Well, it's hard because, I mean, you know, you want the smaller markets to do well. You want them to generate revenue. You want them to get TV time. But for us, putting yourself in the player's shoes, you want to hit a bigger market. Look at Anthony Davis leaving the New Orleans Pelicans and joining the Lakers. If you ask him, he's probably made over $10 to $12 million off the court alone, at least just being in a bigger market. Is it better for the league? No, but is it better for the individual player? Absolutely.
Where do you fall on that, Zach Lowe?
I think it depends on the player. And everything we've heard about Giannis is that he loves Milwaukee. And I hate this conversation for just the sake of Milwaukee fans who can't even enjoy this for 1 second because they have to hear all this speculation. And it's because of the contract. It's because of reality. The other thing is, small market, big market, whatever, I do think there is something about a guy staying in any market for his entire career. When Dirk Nowitzki won a championship, it meant a little bit more to the average NBA fan, to his team, to his city, because he stuck it out in Dallas, which is a big market, not a small one. So I kind of like when guys, it's a magical story when guys stick around in one market. It just is.
I agree. And if the league isn't better off having Giannis in Milwaukee, then why is there a team in Milwaukee? A fence or a chain link fence? Something is only as strong as its weakest link. I've lost track of what that something is. But whatever it is, it means Giannis should stay in Milwaukee. Guys, I have to go to a break here. Thank you both. We'll check back in as we continue. We're a little crazy on the schedule this morning with the Korean baseball, but we're rolling along. He played on the court last night, but LeBron said off it may have been far more impactful. The reaction to his strong comments on the way next. Get up on ESPN. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. And as we approach the top of the hour, 9 o'clock in the morning in the East, I'm Mike Greenberg. We welcome you to Get Up on ESPN with you for the next 90 minutes. And then First Take will come your way in its entirety starting at 10:30 Eastern time this morning. And if you are just joining us, let's take you through what we waited an awful long time for. 119 days after opening day was scheduled, the Yankees and the Nationals began the season last night. And in the top of the first, that's Giancarlo Stanton off of Max Scherzer, and that is a 459-foot blast with Aaron Judge aboard. And as the ball would just sort of lay unattended, the Yankees had an early 2-0 lead. Bottom of five, the Yankees were up 4-1 with Gerrit Cole pitching, and he looked awfully good in his Yankee debut. That's Andrew Stevenson going down, and then it's Victor Robles who would go down. Cole would throw 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 1 earned run. He wouldn't go any further because the game wouldn't go any further. Look at all of the rain and the lightning. They'd ultimately call it there. So they'd play 6 innings last night, and the Yankees would win 4-1. That's how the baseball season began. And then it would give way to the second game of a doubleheader last night. The traditional rival Dodgers and Giants. And here's Mookie Betts in his Dodger debut. Bottom of 7. That's his only hit of the night, his first hit in a Dodger uniform. And he would say, oh, give me that ball. I'm going to take that one home as a souvenir. This is with the game tied at one, by the way. Two batters later, Betts is at third. That's Justin Turner. They're coming home, and they're not going to get him. Mookie in under the tag. They would challenge, but to no avail. He's clearly safe. Dodgers will go on to win it by a score of 8-1, and that is how the baseball season began last night. And here is Jeff Passan, who was back with us. We talked about these games a little bit earlier, but there was a lot of other news around the sport yesterday, Jeff, including the expansion of the playoffs, which we were watching for all day long. And so here's a quick look at what the baseball postseason is going to look like. 16 teams across four rounds. First round will be three-game series, with every game taking place at the home field of the higher seed, followed by the traditional format for the remaining round. So quickly, Jeff, walk us through how this got done and the thinking behind the decision.
Greeny, this really came together in the past week. And let's remember, back when they were arguing over money and we didn't know whether there was going to be a season, one of the chips on the table was expanded playoffs. It's a mutually beneficial thing, though. It's not just for the owners who are going to be reaping money from it this year and beyond. It's good for players, too, because in the offseason, if you have 16 playoff teams, that is so many more teams that believe they can get into the postseason, and especially when that first round is only three games. We know anything can happen in baseball in a short series, and the idea of an 8 beating a 1 of the worst team of the playoffs going and beating the best team is very realistic. So those teams are going to want to go and spend more in free agency. And in the end, I think both the players and the league are happy that this got done.
To be clear, though, however, this is something they've only agreed to for this season. What is your expectation beyond that?
Yeah, you know what? Pandora's box is open, man. Like, if it's happening this year, it is going to happen going forward. And we also have to look at the long-term implications of this. Major League Baseball would be, you know, a league that has more than half the teams making the playoffs. I think this long-term paves the way for expansion, where you get two more teams. You can potentially, via new franchise fees, reap some of the money that was lost during the coronavirus pandemic, and you can get back to having half the teams make the playoffs as opposed to more than that.
And then the other big star, on a day filled with all sorts of news around the sport, several hours before the game, you break the story that Juan Soto, the young superstar for the Nationals, tests positive, so he misses last night. Take us through what happened there, and look, we all knew this was inevitable, so they got a test of it right on the first day. How did this all go?
Yeah, I mean, of all the days for this to happen, of all the players for this to happen to, Juan Soto testing positive was a blow to the Washington Nationals and to opening day, frankly. They lost Anthony Rendon to the Los Angeles Angels this offseason, and Juan Soto is expected to be the fulcrum of that offense. They're hoping that the coronavirus positive was a false positive, because he took two point-of-care tests yesterday, and in taking those, both came back negative. Now, in order for him to get back on the field, he needs two Major League Baseball sanctioned tests to come back negative, and he needs to wait 24 hours between them. So we're not going to see him for at least a few days, but if one of those comes back positive, they could be missing their best player for quite a while, and that's what the Nationals are thinking right now. Mike Rizzo, their general manager, said, we don't expect him back on the field for a while.
Now, that's what this season is going to look like in so many different ways. One more thing quickly. Today is Barry Bonds' 56th birthday. So we thought we would spend 56 seconds watching highlights of his career and me asking you the question, do you believe Barry Bonds should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Greeny, I no longer vote for the Hall of Fame. I did once upon a time, and every year that Barry Bonds was eligible and I had a vote, I voted for him. And in fact, what the Hall of Fame did a few years ago in putting out a statement essentially impugning performance-enhancing drug users and saying we don't want them in our hallowed grounds, when in fact there already are performance-enhancing drug users, in the Hall of Fame made me stop voting. I did not want to participate in the hypocrisy. I did not want to go along with what I felt like was a rigged system. Barry Bonds is arguably the greatest hitter of all time. If he's not the greatest, he's one of the two or three greatest. And because he is so good, no matter what he did, to me, he is a Hall of Famer.
56 seconds on Barry's 56th birthday, and a better answer than I had even bargained for. Jeff Passan, awesome. Thank you, my man. We will see you soon. Meanwhile, today on ESPN, a triple header starting at 4 Eastern. Back-to-back Cy Young winner Jacob deGrom starting for the Mets against the Braves. Then you got the Cubs hosting Christian Yelich and the Brewers. And cap it off tonight with Mike Trout and the Angels visiting the A's. All three games on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we showed you a little of this earlier. For those just joining us, LeBron James looked awfully good on the floor last night in the Lakers' first scrimmage. He played 15 minutes all in the first half, scored 12 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds. Lakers would lose to the Mavericks 108-104, but that clearly isn't the story. The second biggest story of the night was how well LeBron played. The even bigger story were the things that he said after the game last night. And for those, we bring in Lewis Riddick this morning. Lewis, good morning. And Kendrick Perkins and Malika Andrews, who was in the bubble and was there covering it last night. Malika, take it from there.
Yeah, Greeny, LeBron James used the entirety of his postgame press conference to, one, talk about having justice for Breonna Taylor, and two, to generally highlight racism and racial inequality in the United States. Because while he appreciated that he just played a game on a court that says Black Lives Matter, to him, it's more than just a movement.
A lot of people kind of use this analogy talking about Black Lives Matter as a movement. It's not a movement. When you're Black, it's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. we sit here and say it's a movement, and okay, how long is this movement going to last? Don't stop the movement. No, this is a walk of life. When you wake up and you're Black, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are, and we understand it, and we know that, you know, for one step that someone else might have to take, or for 1 yard someone else may have to take, and we know we got to take 5 more steps, and we know we got to take 10 more yards to get to the end zone. I mean, we understand that. We know that. So, but also what makes us, as strong, makes us as powerful, it makes us so unique and unified, is that we'd have so much hardships in our life, either from personal experiences or loved ones, or reading history or seeing videos, Rodney King, or just being a part of just the communities that you're in, where you just racially profiled from the time you come out of the womb. So, it's not a movement. I don't like the word movement, because unfortunately in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And gentlemen, even the few questions that he was actually asked about basketball, he redirected back to social justice. One time he was asked, you know, you guys had a lot of energy on the bench, and it was by far the most energy that I saw out of any game that I have been to thus far. And he said, yeah, it's the same energy that we bring to holding accountable the law enforcement officers involved in Breonna Taylor's death.
And so there he is. He's the most famous athlete probably in the entire world, making those comments last night. Lewis, as you heard LeBron speaking there, I wonder what thoughts you had.
Yeah, Greeny, I could tell that there was a palpable, tangible level of frustration coming out of LeBron. You know, that really reflected the fact that he felt as though, you know, that he was feeling like, you know, this isn't just some brief moment in time where it's cool now to, you know, say Black Lives Matter and paint it on basketball courts or paint it on baseball mounds or, you know, put it on a T-shirt, and like that it's just something that's just really, you know, this one little static moment in time where now everyone, because we're in the middle of a pandemic, has this, you know, newfound awareness, this heightened sense of awareness about the trials and tribulations that Black Americans have been facing, you know, recently in particular, you know, precipitated by the murder of George Floyd, but obviously for much longer than that. There's this frustration that you feel coming out of him that's saying this: look, this is something that we have all as Black Americans been dealing with for a long, long time. This is all something that is not something that you just put on a T-shirt. This is our everyday life that you're talking about. And this is something that, you know, why are you just paying attention to it now? Why hasn't this been something that hasn't been, that's been talked about and something has been done about it, you know, long before this? Think back now, this, think back recently to 2016. Think about Colin Kaepernick when you want to talk about how just that recently, and back in 2016, people were willing to manipulate and change the message that he was trying to get out there so as to benefit their own, I guess you could just say, racist internal feelings, and not really keep it on, you know, on track as to what Colin was actually talking about. Those are the kind of frustrations that I believe like LeBron is really talking about here, that this is much bigger than this specific little moment in time. This is something that has been happening for generations. Systemic racism has been happening for generations. It's something that you have to live with as a Black American every single day. And it's not really just something that's neat now to get behind and in vogue to get behind right now. This is something that's real life. This is something that really puts Black lives in peril in a disproportionate way to white lives in our current society. And why does it have to be that way? Why is it like that? Why do we have to have movements? Why isn't equality something that's normalized? Why is this something that has to be a difficult conversation? Those are the kind of questions that I'm sure that he has in his mind, that all of us have in our minds. That why do we have to even talk about equality in terms of it being a movement? Why isn't it something that's just normal? And those are the, I can feel myself as we're sitting here talking about it. I can empathize and kind of put myself in LeBron James' shoes, because I'm sure LeBron James looks at it this way too. If I wasn't LeBron James, if I wasn't one of the most famous people on the planet because of the fact that I can dribble a basketball and play the game better than maybe anybody in the history of the game, how would you look at me then? Then I'd just be another Black man that someone, you know, would treat unfairly and not treat with the kind of, you know, equalness and the kind of fairness that I deserve. That's the kind of frustration you hear coming out of him. And that's something that people really need to sit back and think about, that, hey, this we can't talk about this maybe necessarily as a move. This has to be something that now has to just change the way things are done. That's what he's looking for. That's what it sounds like to me.
Perk, what do you make of what LeBron said last night?
Well, he's absolutely right, Greeny. When you look at it, it's not a movement. As a Black man in America, it's a way of life. And it don't matter whether you're poor, rich, wealthy, you know, in the middle class or whatever, it's a way of life. And when you look at even a situation with LeBron James, who's one of the most powerful athletes, one of the most powerful people in the world, he was told to shut up and dribble by a news anchor. By a woman, right? He was told to shut up and dribble. Same woman who applauded Drew Brees on the other end and gave him a reason to speak out when he said what he said. So, you know, we deal with this at all different levels. And here I am, an African-American, and I stay in a community of 30 homes. We're the only African-American family here. And I watch, you know, other people ride golf carts and, you know, their kids ride their go-karts or whatever. But when my children do it, we get emails about it. Hey, can you please tell your kids to do this or do this? There's certain restrictions, to the point where, you know, a man was standing at the edge of the driveway yelling at my child, and I had to go down there and confront him. So whether you're rich, poor, or whatever the case may be, it's a way of life for African Americans. So we're dealing with this every day. The only reason that people are now starting to say Black Lives Matter is a movement is because African Americans with power are starting to speak out more about it. And now all of a sudden, people who weren't aware or who are finally taking notice to it want to call it a movement. No, it's not a movement. It's a way of life. It's something that we deal with on a day-to-day basis.
And Malika, this is something that so many of the players are doing down there when they are asked any other sorts of questions, right? Clearly, this is something that has been decided, is that they are going to continue to make this at the forefront, because there was concern, I know, on the part of a lot of players that some of the momentum, if you will, that had been built up might be lost by going back to play. And the players seem to be doing a very good job of making sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Greeny. And all of this over the last couple of days, I think back to Jeremy Grant 2 or 3 days ago when he used the entirety of his press conference. Really, that was the first player that we saw do that in that way. It made me think back to a conversation I had with Malcolm Brogdon about 2 years ago when it was ahead of the midterm elections. I was asking him about a voting story I was working on where players were working on a voting initiative. And I asked him whether or not he thought success on the court was a prerequisite to being allowed to speak on these sorts of issues off the court. And he thought about it for a minute and said, you know what? Yeah, unfortunately, I think that you are listened to more if you had those accolades. But watching some of the players, in addition to LeBron James, who obviously has had those accomplishments and has been pushing this message for so long, the players that are getting behind him in doing so and doing so in their own right, Alex Caruso, Jeremy Grant, those aren't necessarily those name guys. So we are seeing a change here. We're seeing a change in who can speak up, who feels they have the platform to speak up, and who feels they have the urgency that this is the time they need to say something.
I'm going to leave it there for the moment, but I these are such intensely personal conversations. I thank you all for your openness and your candor on this. And again, we'll continue to cover this, because this is certainly a conversation that will continue through this NBA season and well beyond. Meanwhile, we'll take a short break here on Get Up. As we continue, there are some Kansas City Chiefs players who believe a Super Bowl celebration is about to become an annual event. What does Lewis think about that? We'll ask him that question as we continue in a moment. You are watching Get Up on ESPN. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. We are back on Get Up, and a lot of talk this NFL offseason about whether or not the Chiefs can become a dynasty. On a radio interview earlier this week, Chris Jones said he predicted 5+ rings in the coming years. Then yesterday on First Take, Tyreek Hill took it a step further.
Well, I'm not going to say he's telling a fib, you know, but Chris Jones, he's definitely a man of his word. We're definitely creating something special here in KC. So I don't see why not. Why say 5? Why not go 7 rings? You know what I'm saying? So right now we just chasing joy. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do. So I'm going over 5, and I'm saying 7.
Huh. Lewis Riddick. This is I don't really even know how to ask you this question. What do you make of Tyreek Hill saying that the Chiefs are going for Jordan, they're going for 7 championships?
Yeah, man. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, look, there's so much cool optimism and camaraderie that, you know, Andy Reid and Brett Veach, the general manager, and Clark Hunt, the owner, that they've created down there. There's so much optimism, so much positive energy. There's such a we before me attitude that really is pervading that entire place right now, that these guys think that, you know, there's no mountain that they can't climb. There's no records that they can't attain, that they are going to, without a doubt, you know, establish their legacy in a big, big way in the near future here. And you know what? Maybe they will. Who's to say that they won't? Obviously, football is such a nuanced game that has so many variables that come into play that will influence your success or failure, that it's, you know, a lot of people are just going to roll their eyes at Tyreek and say, hey, look, you know, one, we're in the salary cap era. Two, you play a game that has a lot of uncertainty in terms of who's going to be available and the injury rate and et cetera. There, you know, we're playing at a time where now, you know, look, your quarterback's going to obviously get much more expensive here before you get to 5, 6, 7 Super Bowls. So are you going to be able to, you know, retain all the good players that you have right now? Guys are going to get old. And you know what? Eventually, maybe all that feel good, we love each other type of attitude is going to change a little bit when everybody starts saying, hey, wait a second. You know, chasing this jewelry is cool, but I want my money. And you guys can't pay me all my money. So what happens when you start, you know, having to deal with that too? But look, there's no question that Brett Veach, Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, they have a plan. Pat Mahomes, Chris Jones, those guys are different types of dudes now. Pat could have got them for a lot more money, Greeny. He could have taken all their money. And I mean all of it. And they would have given it to him, every single dime of it. But he didn't want to because he wanted Chris to get his. He wants the other guys around him to get his. And as long as that attitude, as long as Pat is setting that kind of attitude, I think people are really down in Kansas City going, hey, look, if the best player on the planet is doing it, maybe we'll do it too. And when you do that, you have a chance. Now, obviously, everybody needs to stay healthy. Andy Reid needs to keep coaching. They can't lose a bunch of coaches. They can't have, you know, other teams coming in and poaching this football team and this organization of all its most valuable assets. But they're on the right track right now. But 5, 6, 7 Super Bowls, whew, that's a lot, my man. But, hey, more power to you. Go for it. Go get it.
And the guy who's chasing Jordan, without question, or in this case maybe Brady, is Patrick Mahomes. Take a quick break on that thought. And remind you, tomorrow night on ESPN, UFC Fight Night, it's a middleweight showdown. Number one contender Robert Whittaker takes on fifth-ranked Darren Till. Coverage starts 5 Eastern with the main card starting at 8 on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. As we continue, Mike Trout is the best player in Major League Baseball, right? But who is just behind him? We count down baseball's best coming up as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.